Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Hundreds of priests were said to have molested more than 1,000 children and possibly many more since the 1940s. And senior church officials, including a man who is now the Archbishop of Washington, D.C., allegedly covered up the abuse, according to a grand jury report released on Tuesday. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. And bear with me. I'm going to read some things from these reports, and I'm going to share some details that while they do not, I do not think they cross the FCC line for what you can say on public radio. They are things and graphic things and details that I've certainly never said this on the air before. I've had conversations about these things off the air, but not on the air. And the fact that it's Christian radio actually compels me to be more truthful about it than less. So I'm going to share some of this stuff with you. We're going to talk about the cover-up. We're going to talk about all kinds of things here today. And to my Catholic friends, this is not me attacking you. This is me attacking the problem. And this problem needs to be attacked. And the response of the Catholic Church has been horrendous. And if the Pope is a man of God at all, he should be hunting for pelts. He should be hunting for scalps. I'm using warlike language because I think that's what's required here as we discuss this. So I'm just going to go through this. I was just going to open up the phones today and ask you what you think the Catholic Church needs to do. But there's so much information here and so many damning pieces of evidence that it needs to be said. And I think as a member of the body of Christ at large, I have a right to do that. I have an obligation to do it. And the fact that I'm not a Catholic doesn't make a hill of beans difference to me. Because if you're going to claim, if you're Catholic, if you're part of the Catholic Church and you claim to be a Christian, then we are both claiming to be in the same body, in the same faith. And so this stuff needs to be discussed, and it needs to be discussed frankly and truthfully. So that's what's going to happen. Okay, so let's just dive into it. God, help us. The real number of abused children, this is from a Fox News story. I've got them from all over the place, okay? So just stick with me. And this needs to be said. The real number of abused children might be in the thousands since some secret church records were lost and victims were afraid to come forward, the grand jury said. We are sick over all the crimes that will go unpunished and uncompensated, the grand jury also said. The grand jury accused Cardinal Donald Weir Wuerl, who leads the Washington Archdiocese, of helping to protect abusive priests when he was Pittsburgh's bishop. We'll get to him in a little bit because he disgusts me. Most of the Pennsylvania victims were boys, but girls were abused too, the report said. Okay, so let's just get this one out of the way right quick, okay? When most of the abuse victims from Catholic priests and on up the chain were boys, that means every single priest, every single man that sexually abused a boy is engaged in homosexual activity, okay? So when we go down all these roads and people say not all homosexuals are child abusers, I agree, I understand. It's like saying not all Muslims are terrorists. Yep, that's exactly right. But every man, priest or not, that sexually abuses another man of any age is engaged in homosexual activity. So this does involve homosexuality, okay? We're not going to walk away from that. Most of the Pennsylvania victims were boys, but girls were abused too, the report said. All right, now if you have little kids around and you don't want them to hear these details, then deal with that, okay? I'm giving you a warning, just like when I do the Santa Claus show in December, I give you a warning. I'm giving you a warning right now, okay? If you have little kids, 12 and under, whatever, that's your call, I wouldn't be letting them listen to this. The abuse ranged from groping and masturbation to anal, oral, and vaginal rape. One boy was forced to say confession to the priest who sexually abused him. A 9-year-old boy was forced to perform oral sex and then had his mouth washed out with holy water. Another boy was made to pose naked as if being crucified and then was photographed by a group of priests who Attorney General Josh Shapiro said produced and shared child pornography on church grounds. The report put the number of abusive clergy at more than 300. In nearly all of the cases, the statute of limitations has run out, meaning that criminal charges cannot be filed. More than 100 of the priests are dead. Good. And many others are retired or have been dismissed from the priesthood or put on leave. Quote, priests were raping little boys and girls, and the men of God who were responsible for them not only did nothing, they hid it all, Shapiro said at a news conference in Harrisburg. This is in Pennsylvania. Shapiro said the investigation confirmed a systematic cover-up by senior church officials in Pennsylvania and at the Vatican. All the way to the Pope. The report itself provided scant detail about the Vatican's role beyond describing a series of confidential reports that bishops made to the Vatican about abusive priests. The alleged conspiracy of silence extended beyond church grounds. The grand jury said it found cases in which police or prosecutors learned of clergy sex abuse allegations, but did not investigate out of deference to church officials. Deference? Listen, church, listen up. If children, men, women, little boys, little girls are being abused sexually or otherwise, if women are being abused sexually or otherwise in the church, then the holiness of God demands swift action. And then definitely, and at the same time, throw open the doors to law enforcement. Why are we playing around with this? Why, Catholic Church, are you playing around with this? Now, Cardinal Wuerl, however you say his name, I'm going to get to that story in a little bit. This is the murder of a soul, James Felushek, a former priest who said he was abused by a priest as a child in the Diocese of Erie, Pennsylvania, told Philly.com. There's no statute of limitations on the crime of murder. It's a great point. The grand jury probe was the most extensive investigation of Catholic clergy abuse by any state. Its findings echoed many earlier church investigations around the country, describing widespread sexual abuse and church officials' concealment of it. U.S. bishops have acknowledged that more than 17,000 people nationwide have reported being molested by priests and others in the church. Those are the ones that they've acknowledged. Okay, so here's another reality. What we're looking at today, what this grand jury determined, and God bless every one of them for their courage and their truthfulness, I'm telling you, just based on the history of this story, in this subject, in the Catholic Church, it's the tip of the iceberg. We're talking about one state out of 50 and one country out of 150 plus. I'll get to a story here in a little bit that just shows you something else that went on in a Catholic church in another part of the world. The Pennsylvania grand jury, convened by the state attorney general's office in 2016, heard from dozens of witnesses and reviewed more than a half million pages of internal documents from the Allentown, Erie, Greensburg, Harrisburg, Pittsburgh, and Scranton dioceses. The grand jury scrutinized the abuse allegations in dioceses that minister to more than half the state's 3.2 million Catholics. Maybe one of the things that needs to happen for the church's sake, the Catholic Church's sake, is that there's a whole lot fewer Catholics that you walk away when a church goes that direction. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. I am focusing the entire hour on what's going on with the Catholic Church and the findings of this grand jury in Pennsylvania. I am saying things that I've never said on the air before. I don't think I'm breaking the law by doing so, but it's frank, and there's details here of what these priests have done to boys and men, children, adults, mostly men, some women. And so this is like an Emmett Till moment. And Emmett Till's mom, he was murdered by a bunch of racists in Money, Mississippi. She was willing to have an open casket funeral, which actually was one of the things that fueled the civil rights fight in the 60s when Rosa Gill decided to not give up her seat. She had thought about not giving up her seat before, but that day, Rosa Parks, sorry, the day she did it, Jesse Jackson, when he interviewed her later, asked her what was the difference, and she thought about Emmett Till. And that she didn't want his death to be in vain. So Emmett Till's mom was willing to have an open casket funeral so you could see what racism did. Now, in this case, I'm using details and I'm reading all kinds of information to you this hour and opening the casket, if you will, on this ongoing sexual abuse, almost entirely homosexual abuse in the Catholic Church with cover-ups by the Catholic Church itself, okay? And again, if you're a Catholic, I am not attacking you. Am I hammering the denomination, the church you belong to? Yes. Am I hammering all Catholics? No. Am I hammering every single Catholic priest and bishop and cardinal and whatever? No. Am I hammering the Pope? Yes. Those are my cards. They're on the table. The Pittsburgh diocese said a few priests were still in ministry. Like, are you kidding me? I'm really worked up, so you're just going to have to work with me here today. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. The Pittsburgh Diocese said a few priests are still in ministry because the diocese determined allegations against them were unsubstantiated. Sure they were. Tim Lennon, the president of the Survivors Network of those abused by priests, urged Pennsylvania lawmakers to lift civil and criminal statutes of limitations for child sex crimes and to provide victims with who no longer meet the age requirements in state law with a new window to file civil lawsuits. That would be beautiful. Some current and former clergy named in the report went to court to prevent its release. Of course they did, arguing it violated their constitutional rights. I think you lost those when you started raping boys and some girls. The state Supreme Court said the public had a right to see it, but ruled that names of priests and others who objected to the findings would be blacked out pending a September hearing on their claim. So I hope it comes all out after that. 20 of the grand jurors said Tuesday that they objected to any attempts to censor, alter, redact, or amend the report. Several dioceses decided to strip the accused of their anonymity and release the names of clergy members who were accused of sexual conduct. Good job. Good job. Church officials, now this is from the attorney general, okay? He calls the cover-up of child sexual abuse. Church officials routinely and purposefully describe the abuse as horseplay and wrestling and simply inappropriate conduct, Shapiro said. He's the attorney general of Pennsylvania. It was none of those things, he said. It was child sexual abuse, including rape. That's the first one, okay? Now here's another one I found. I thought this was great. This is from ricochet.com. And the author, who I think might be a Catholic, I think it's a woman. I've read a great deal of the report and have pulled a few interesting parts out of the 1,300-page document. What is shocking about this report isn't just the scope. It's the fact that all of this remained hidden after the church was broken almost beyond repair by the early 2000 sex abuse crises originating out of Boston after the Boston Globe broke the story open. Stopwatch, Stoplight, remember that, the movie? You should watch that. This report is only about one American state, Pennsylvania. How many more tales of abuse are out there? How much innocence and faith have been stolen, and can the church ever recover? It's clear that the scale of the abuse is massive, and it will take massive steps to correct. Now, this is great. God bless this particular Catholic here in a second. Watch. Listen. On Facebook, a priest named Seamus Griesbach from Portland wrote what he wants to see from the church in response. So here's a Catholic priest that gets it. Here's a guy with a backbone and some holy anger and fire, which is exactly what's required right now. This is from the priest. I don't want to read one more statement from a bishop saying that he is deeply saddened, quote unquote, by the latest report of clergy sexual abuse and cover-up. Really? Who is advising them on this wording? It's only making matters worse. The need to make a complete and utter break from this despicable and horrendous behavior. That's the need. How about a statement like this? So this is a priest, Seamus Griesbach from Portland. Here's his suggested statement that the church should make. This is awesome. The sexual abuse of a child is an abomination. It's a complete betrayal of everything that Jesus is and everything that he taught. It is an act that even the most immoral of people recognize as detestable and depraved. The fact that Catholic bishops and staff were too cowardly or institutionally entrenched to eliminate this kind of behavior and abuse at the first inkling is a grave and reprehensible moral failure for which there must be real consequences. We will root out this detestable rot that is stuck at the heart of our family of faith. We pledge to not rest until we have brought to light every misdeed and cover-up. We call on the Holy Father, that would be the Pope, to demand the resignation of any bishop in our midst who tolerated or overlooked immorality within his presbyterate or sought to cover it up. They should throw him in jail, too. I added that. We pledge to react resolutely and transparently to any accusation of immoral activity that comes to our attention today or in the future. Finally, as an outward sign of our repentance, bishops will wear only purple vestments and remove their pectoral crosses for the coming year as a sign of our misery and shame over this grotesque and diabolical scandal that has so deeply injured and betrayed the faith of those entrusted to our care. We ask that all men and women of good will join us in this time of prayer and penance, asking God to have mercy on his sinful Catholic Church and to grant her shepherds the grace of true conversion and renewal and holiness of life. That would be nice. So I just looked it up. What's the official statement out of the Vatican? What's the official statement out of the Pope? I was just looking it up. Here's what I found. That's what I found. Here's seven key takeaways this lady mentioned in her. And there's some tough stuff in here, okay? Number one, those involved believe in nothing, not celibacy, not the sanctity of life, nothing. This is a quote from the report, right? This part. In another case, a priest raped a girl, got her pregnant, and arranged an abortion. The bishop expressed his feelings in a letter. This is a very difficult time in your life, and I realize how upset you are. I, too, share your grief. But the letter was not for the girl. It was addressed to the rapist. Point number two. And I've got other stuff to get to, okay? The scandal is big, bigger than the last and any before it. Number three, the stories are heinous. Here's some more. Hold on to your seat. From the report, even out of these hundreds of odious stories, some stood out. There was the priest, for example, who raped a seven-year-old girl while he was visiting her in the hospital after she had her tonsils out. Or the priest who made a nine-year-old give him oral sex, then rinsed the boy's mouth out with holy water to purify him. I'm sorry that I have to say this. I have to share this. Or the boy who drank some juice at his priest's house and woke up the next morning bleeding from his rectum, unable to remember anything from the night before. Or the priest, a registered psychologist, who treated a young parishioner with depression by attempting to hypnotize her and directing her to take off her clothes piece by piece. That's from the report. Point number four. And even when offenders left the church, children still weren't safe and the church didn't care. Yet another priest finally decided to quit after years of child abuse complaints, but asked for and received a letter of reference for his next job. Guess where that is? Guess where his next job was? And he got a letter of reference from the Catholic Church. His next job? Walt Disney World. Number five. This is far from a complete accounting of the abuse, sadly. We should emphasize that. This is from the report. While the list of priests is long, we don't think we got them all. We feel certain that many victims never came forward and that the diocese did not create a written record every single time they heard something about abuse. We also couldn't fully account for out-of-state travel. Many priests who served in Pennsylvania also spent some of their careers in other parts of the country. Great. The last 2 points there, and then we're going to start talking about this Cardinal Donald Wirral, who's part of the problem. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. Good to be with you back from Washington, D.C. Been listening to a bunch of kind of stuff on the way home, a four-hour drive from D.C. back to Raleigh, North Carolina. If you want to join us on Facebook Live, please do that. Just go to Facebook in the search box. Put the Steve Noble Show or Steve Noble Show. You'll get there. And we're live in the studio here. Not everybody that hears the show every day hears it live, which is 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern time. So if you hear it later, some places an hour later, some places a couple hours later, you can always be with us live. That's 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern time on our Facebook page. Just go to Facebook and put Steve Noble Show, N-O-B-L-E, right there in the search box. Talking about all this, the nightmare out of Pennsylvania, the grand jury. God bless every one of them. Shapiro, not Ben Shapiro, who I interviewed this week. Shapiro's the attorney general. They exhaustive two-year look, and they 900-page report, absolutely destroying the credibility of every one of these priests, the Catholic Church in that area, and I think the Catholic Church worldwide and the Pope himself. Unless they come down on this talk about Jesus turning over the tables. That's mild compared to this. So anyway, I'm just reading through a bunch of things and I'm just saying things that I've never read on the air before, statements of fact from this report. I've never said those types of things on the air before. They'll probably come up again. So if you have little ones, I'm just giving you a friendly warning. I wouldn't let my 13-year-old daughter in on this conversation, and you probably shouldn't let yours, or especially anybody younger than that. Reading from this one article, going through these seven big takeaways. Number six, despite turning over – oh, well, let me go back to this for a second. So today there was a Brad Hartman, whatever his name is, filled in for Rush Limbaugh, who is a Catholic. I mentioned that. He had some callers. He had some dialogue. But then he said, you know what? Just to be clear, I blame the priests. I don't blame the church. And I'm driving down the highway from D.C. back to Raleigh, and I yelled at the top of my lungs, you coward! You do blame the church. Please. Really? It's a proven systemic problem. And if it's proven in Pennsylvania, that means it applies to the whole American Catholic Church, which means it all falls under the purview of the Pope. I don't blame the church. You blame the people and the church. Because the church has oversight, especially the Catholic Church. Sometimes I wish some of the denominations I deal with were run like the Catholic Church, top down. But they're not. Southern Baptists aren't. I'm a Southern Baptist. 44,000 churches in the country. They're all autonomous. J.D. Greer, who happens to be the new president of the Southern Baptist Convention and my pastor, can't send out a dictate to everybody and they have to follow it. They just go, yeah, whatever. Thanks for the input. But in the Catholic Church, it all goes up. All the way up. Despite turning over all of its records, reports the church received are still missing. What else is the church hiding just in this small area of the country? Number seven, it wasn't just faith destroyed. Lives were as well. This is from the report. During our deliberations, one of the victims who had appeared before us tried to kill herself. From her hospital bed, she asked for one thing, that we finish our work and tell the world what really happened. We feel a debt to this woman and to the many other victims who so exposed themselves by giving us their stories. We hope this report will make good on what we owe them. Which is why I'm doing my part, which is why you need to share today's Facebook Live and the podcast to everybody. And again, if you're a Catholic, I'm not attacking you. I'm attacking your church and I'm attacking your leadership, but I'm not attacking you personally. Let's get to this guy, Cardinal Wuerl, I guess he says. At almost 900 pages, the exhaustive report details methods by leaders of the diocese to insulate accused members of the church from outside prosecution and judgment, employing the same strategies uncovered by the Boston Globe's 2002 report on the systemic cover-up of sexual abuse within the Catholic Church. The investigation team received files on at least 100 other priests, but didn't include them in the report. So now you get into this Bishop Wuerl guy, all right? So here's from LifeSite News, and I appreciate that they put this up because LifeSite News is a Catholic website, okay, run by Catholics. Washington, and I listened to this for myself and made me want to throw up. Washington Cardinal downplays magnitude of church's current sexual abuse crisis. Are you kidding me? I listened to it. And this is what he did. Baltimore, Maryland, August 14th. Cardinal Donald Wuerl, the Archbishop of Washington, D.C., said last week that the sexual abuse revelations and fallout surrounding his predecessor, Archbishop Theodore McCarrick, don't amount to a big crisis. McCarrick resigned from the College of Cardinals on July 28th and faces a canonical trial for sexual abuse of a minor. He was removed from active ministry on June 20th when the decades-old credible and substantiated allegations were made public. Oh, yeah, that's what we got to wait for. Justice doesn't really matter. It doesn't really exist until it's public. In respective statements on the McCarrick allegations, the Archdiocese of Newark and Diocese of Metuchen in New Jersey acknowledged multiple allegations against McCarrick of sexual misconduct with adults. Newark and Metuchen had both received three allegations of misconduct with adults decades ago, with two of the allegations resulting in settlements. That's right, pay him off. Since then, numerous additional allegations have been made against McCarrick from priests, former priests, and seminarians. The accusations against McCarrick, a prominent church cleric who rose to cardinal and enjoyed widespread influence, brought again to light the prevalence of homosexuality in the church's abuse crisis and may have served to shine new light on a probable cover-up among church leadership in the U.S. Numerous reports indicate McCarrick's homosexual predation of priests and seminarians was a widely known secret for years within the church and among the media. Wuerl said in an August 8th interview with Salt and Light Media's Father Thomas Rozica that this was not a significant crisis, but a disappointment. I don't think this is some massive, massive crisis, Wuerl said. It was a terrible disappointment. Right. Tell the 7-year-old girl who was raped by a priest in her hospital room after she had her tonsils removed, oh, that's terribly disappointing, little girl. Or the boy who was drugged, and this is from the report, woke up the next morning bleeding from his rectum. Oh, that's terribly disappointing, little boy. These people. The bishops took a very strong stand in 2002 with the creation of their Charter for the Protection of Young People, Wuerl said, and stressed more than once that it's working. Sure it is. Wuerl went on to also emphasize about abuse cases now and discussions pertaining to things that happened decades ago. So the charter worked, he said. The charter concerns abuse against minors only, thus it does not have provisions for abuse of seminarians or priests by clerics or bishops. And it likewise does not address bishops who cover for or enable abuse. Despite telling Rozica the Dallas charter worked, Wuerl went on to call for some practical measures to it to make it work. I thought you said it was working. That's this Cardinal Wuerl guy. Here's another one. As the Pennsylvania Attorney General announced the results of an exhaustive, nearly 900-page grand jury investigation, Cardinal Donald J. Wuerl released a statement calling attention to three words he said are unfairly attributed to him. Yep, it's all about you, Cardinal. At the same time, the Archdiocese of Washington has launched a slick PR-driven website, the Wuerl Record, which appears to serve no other purpose than to protect the embattled Wuerl's reputation. The Pope should have Wuerl's head on a stick at the Vatican by Friday. I'd actually like him then. The sweeping two-year-long grand jury probe reveals sexual abuse against mostly adolescent males, with victims numbering perhaps well into the thousands over the course of several decades. Page after page of the report documents gut-wrenching sexual manipulation of young men and boys by priests. Predators in every diocese weaponize the Catholic faith and use it as a tool of their abuse, noted Pennsylvania Attorney General Josh Shapiro. These children, surrounded by adults enabling their abuse, were taught that this abuse was not only normal, but that it was holy. The report alleges a longstanding strategy of abuse, deny, and cover-up by the six Pennsylvania dioceses that were the subject of the investigation. That's Allentown, Erie, Greensburg, Harrisburg, Pittsburgh, and Scranton. And I think in the next 60 days, the show might be going live in Pittsburgh, so we'll circle back around on that one. World's name shows up in the document just over 200 times. And I looked up the Pope's response today. Nothing. The pattern not only victimized children who were abused, it served a legal purpose. Church officials manipulated for their advantage, noted Attorney General Shapiro. The longer they covered up, the less chance law enforcement could prosecute priests, predators, because of the statute of limitations would run out. The report attributes a handwritten notation, Circle of Secrecy, on one of the uncovered documents then to Bishop Worrell. Worrell headed the Pittsburgh Diocese from 88 until 2006 when he replaced now-disgraced former Cardinal Theodore McCarrick. Oh, you see, notice the trend here, formerly disgraced, now disgraced. An ADW spokesman then said that portions of the grand jury's report dramatically, disparagingly, and most importantly, incorrectly attributed the phrase circle of secrecy to Worrell. While those three words may have been incorrectly attributed to Cardinal Worrell, this article goes on, many troubling stories involving Worrell and the grand jury report remain. A Church Militant analysis reveals that Cardinal Donald Worrell, former Bishop of Pittsburgh, not only shuffled around notorious predator priests, including one involved in a sadomasochistic pederast ring, he even paid one off in exchange for his silence. In one of the stories chronicling the abuses by three of the Pittsburgh Diocese's notorious pederast priests, the Associated Press and Pittsburgh Post-Gazette reported Washington County District Attorney John Pettit filed the sexual abuse charges against three Roman Catholic priests for allegedly molesting two brothers who were altar boys and accused the church of foot-dragging during the investigation. It was not the spirit of cooperation we would like to see, Pettit said, calling it minimal at best. Pittsburgh Bishop Donald W. Worrell denied the allegation, saying, I think the diocese has made every effort to be cooperative. Sick. In more than 150 counts, Pettit alleged that the priests sexually abused the two boys from 1981 to 1987. The homosexual acts allegedly took place in a barn, a church basement, a park car, and a mountain resort. Some of the incidents involved whips, chains, drugs, and alcohol. So, what does the Catholic Church down in the Atlanta area do? They appoint a pro-gay priest as a spiritual guide for sex abuse victims. You can't make this stuff up. More about that. And Matt Walsh went off, as he should. And some other stuff when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking about this nightmare in the Catholic Church in Pennsylvania, 900-page document, 2 years, a grand jury, and the details are just horrific. And another thing that they talked about is that some of these crazy, depraved priests, almost all of which are involved in homosexual activity, they did abuse and rape some girls, including a seven-year-old girl who one priest raped in her hospital room after her tonsils were removed. So it's not exclusively homosexual activity, but it's almost exclusively homosexual activity. And I know that's not very politically correct to say, but that is what it is. When a man sexually abuses another man or a boy, regardless of the age, that is homosexual activity, okay? So you can't divorce homosexuality from this conversation and still be talking about the truth, all right? You just can't. So I mentioned the guy that filled in for Rush Limbaugh today that said, I blame the priest, but not the church. He was a coward. Sorry, sir, Matt, whatever his name was. You have to blame the church and the leadership all the way up. And he brought up, hey, there's sexual abuse stories and things going on in the schools in Chicago, which means I'm sure it's happening in other places and other organizations. And you got Joe Paterno and Pennsylvania football and this, that, and the other thing. Yes, but none of those places exclusively call themselves the Church of Jesus Christ. We follow Jesus Christ. He is our Lord, our Master, our Savior, the cornerstone of our faith. The father of scripture, the father of life and existence and reality itself. As soon as you throw that moniker out there, everything changes. Everything. You're an ambassador of Christ. So everything changes. So yes, I'm sure we know there's all kinds of child sexual abuse and sexual abuse, period. There's sex trafficking. There's physical abuse and all of that. But when it's in the church, that is particularly grievous. And I'm not going to compare it happening in the church to what happening in a school system. We're sitting there going, especially in the Catholic Church, where the Pope is God's man on earth. The bar just goes way up, all the way to heaven on that deal. So you got the Sean Hannity, the guy there, and then Sean Hannity the entire hour, not in his opening monologue, not talking what he was saying, what he's going to talk about. And I listened to the first entire hour while I was printing out and reading a bunch of stuff for the show. He didn't mention it once. I have no reason to doubt that he's a Christian. He claims faith in Jesus Christ. He also happens to be a Catholic. That's dereliction of duty. I sure hope he's talking about it in hour number two or hour number three. But to not put that in front of Paul Manafort and Donald Trump and Russian collusion and all the other stuff that he talks about all the time is reprehensible. It's reprehensible that he didn't open with it. This story broke yesterday. Now, I don't know if he talked about it yesterday, but I doubt it. He should have led with it today. Shame on you, Sean. Now, this is interesting. I heard this from Matt Walsh earlier today. He mentioned this guy, a priest in Florida, Edwin Palka, P-A-L-K-A. I'll share this story here in a little bit on Facebook. Talk about this guy should be the Pope. Tampa, Florida, August 3rd. This is from LifeSite News. Evil homosexual bishop set out to punish, humiliate, and blackmail decent God-fearing priests if these threaten to blow the whistle on the gay mafia within the Roman Catholic Church, says a parish priest. Wow. In the bulletin and on the website of the Epiphany of Our Lord Roman Catholic Church, he actually put it on the website and in the bulletin, and he did a whole sermon, a homily on it. Father Edwin Palka does not mince words about the terrible extent of the damage done by what he calls the lavender mafia within the church. His writing offers light on why the sexual abuse crisis within the U.S. church has continued to rage unabated for decades. Now, I don't know if this guy's nutty or not. I don't know anything about him personally, so I'm not endorsing him. But he's bringing this up, so he's inside of it. I'm not. This is him saying this. Many people still don't, I believe most priests still don't, understand just how evil the active homosexual or homosexual activist priests and bishops are, writes the pastor of that Tampa, Florida parish. Not understanding the extent of their depravity and wrongly thinking that they are simply normal men who just struggle with their sexual desires and sometimes might fail and remain chaste, but are really, truly repentant when it happens and strive to confess my sins, do penance, and amend my life. Amen. They cannot possibly grasp the hellish depths to which these homosexual activists he's talking about, clergy, will go to persecute, lambaste, punish, humiliate, and blackmail anyone who stands in the way or threatens their way of life. And so this goes on, and he did a homily on this. And wow, Father Edwin Palka, Epiphany of Our Lord Roman Catholic Church in Florida. God bless him. And again, I'm not endorsing, I don't know anything about him. But LifeSite News shared that story. I thought it was relevant. Here's another one that's relevant to show you just how broken the Catholic Church is. And this, do I blame the Pope for this story? Well, ultimately, he's the man. Sorry, the buck stops with you. Atlanta, Georgia, August 14th, LifeSite News. And I appreciate LifeSite News because it's run by Catholics. Atlanta's Catholic Archbishop has appointed a pro-gay priest who heads a gay-affirming parish to be a diocesan spiritual director for victims of sexual abuse by clergy, the overwhelming majority of which, 98% plus probably, it's male priests and others in the hierarchy abusing boys and men. That is homosexual behavior. And they put a pro-gay priest who heads a gay-affirming parish. Why do they allow him to head a gay-affirming parish? They put him in charge of the spiritual director for victims of sexual abuse? What is that? That's like satanic level depravity, okay? That's so dark. Unbelievable. Just unbelievable. God help us. God help them. This is from Matt Walsh, who's pretty edgy and a Catholic, okay? This is what he said. The Catholic Church in the West is beset by a plague, an infection, a virus that must be rooted out and utterly destroyed. There must be a purge in the church, and the purge must be ruthless and brutal and uncompromising. Unfortunately, the laws in our country will not allow us to hang these priests, much less burn them at the stake, as poetic as that would be, but they can be exposed everywhere, shamed, rebuked, and hopefully locked in a cage for the rest of their mortal lives. This is Matt Walsh. I think Catholics have been tempted to believe that the scandals are behind us. Cardinal McCarrick and now this case in Pennsylvania show that this is nothing but wishful thinking. the cancer has not been fully removed. And the reluctance of most priests and bishops to come forward even now and speak passionately and publicly against these crimes yet again shows that the problem is not in the past. The predators and the cowards who aid and abet them remain. The good priests and bishops must come out and rebuke with righteous fury. Statements of sadness and grief will not do. Cardinal Wuerl's limp-wristed lament about the tragedy of sexual abuse is insufficient. It is not just a tragedy. It is wickedness straight from the pit of hell. That is what needs to be said. We don't want to hear about tragedies anymore. We want to hear the wrath of God called down upon the heads of the perpetrators. We want you to show us that you are disgusted and enraged, or else we will suspect that you don't care, or worse. And names must be named, Matt Walsh says. For every priest who raped a boy, there could well at least be one more priest who knew about it and remained silent. And those priests are almost as guilty as the rapist. Cowardice is a moral evil, and there has been quite a lot of that kind of evil and many other kinds of evil infecting the hierarchy of the church. And he's talking about the Catholic Church. And Matt Walsh, by the way, is a Catholic. So all of the evildoers must be purged, exposed, shamed, thrown out, imprisoned, all of them. That is the only way forward now. There is no other way. And every Catholic who loves God and truth and justice must demand it. There you go. That's pretty good, right?
There was another story. I'm looking for it. There was another story.
I'm going to go back to this because this bears repeating. Here's another. This is a priest that said this from Portland. This is what he thinks the Catholic Church should say. Here's another guy that should probably be the Pope, too. He says, I'm reading this again because it's so strong. I don't want to read one more statement from a bishop saying that he is deeply saddened. He's talking about Wuerl. By the latest reports of clergy sexual abuse and cover-up. Really? Who is advising them on this wording? It's only making matters worse. They need to make a complete and utter break from the despicable and horrendous behavior. How about a statement like this? So this is this priest in Seattle. God bless him. The sexual abuse of a child is an abomination. And I'm reading this again because it needs to be read again. It's a complete betrayal of everything that Jesus is and everything that he taught. It is an act that even the most immoral of people recognize as detestable and depraved. The fact that Catholic bishops and staff are too cowardly or institutionally entrenched to eliminate this kind of behavior and abuse at the first inkling is a grave and reprehensible moral failure for which there must be real consequences. We will root out this detestable rot that has struck at the heart of our family of faith. We pledge to not rest until we have brought to light every misdeed and cover-up. We call on the Holy Father, that's the Pope, to demand the resignation of any bishop in our midst who tolerated or overlooked immorality within his presbytery or sought to cover it up. That's Bishop Wuerl, who's right near the top of the heap now in D.C. He needs to take a long walk on a short pier. We pledge to react resolutely and transparently to any accusation of immoral activity that comes to our attention today or in the future. Wouldn't it be nice if this was actually the official statement of the Pope? Finally, as an outward sign of our repentance, bishops will wear only purple vestments and remove their pectoral crosses for the coming year as a sign of our misery and shame over our grotesque and diabolical scandal that has so deeply injured and betrayed the faith of those entrusted to our care. That's a good word right there, Father. That's a good, I'm with you. That's great. So this, and again, if you are a Catholic, I am not attacking you. I am attacking the institution. I am calling out the Catholic Church. I am calling out the Pope. And I know I'm nobody. I'm just some little evangelical dude here in North Carolina. I got that. But on the authority of the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit and God's heart for justice and especially for children, come on. If you're a Catholic, you should be on the phone or emailing or this Sunday or today. Go speak to your priest directly and say, what are you going to do about this? I'm doing my part. I'm coming to you. And stuff flows uphill in the Catholic Church and downhill too. You know what I mean? So go talk to your priest. Who's the bishop in charge of your part of your state? Talk to him. This is in your denomination. This is in your church. I grieve for it because I follow Christ. You claim to follow Christ. They claim to follow Christ. You show me your faith by what you say, I'll show you my faith by what I do, James said. You should be all over your church. The Pope needs to be taking names and kicking butt all over the planet. And we wonder why people out there, the lost, think we're a bunch of hypocrites. Please, Lord, help us. Help the Catholic Church. Especially help all these victims and these messed up priests. In Jesus' name, amen.